come alive, come alive in my body. Dream, come alive, come alive.
Hey there, this is Molly Patrick, and you are listening to episode 27 of the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. What's up? Today I have a treat for you. I am talking to Dr. Neil Barnard, and I just love Dr. Barnard. He is so knowledgeable, so friendly. He explains things so, I don't know, in a way that's just easy to understand. You can tell he just loves what he does, and he's made such a contribution to the nutrition world. So Dr. Barnard is an adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and he's also the president of PCRM, which is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They do great work. He has had or led numerous research studies that have evaluated the effects of diet on diabetes, body weight, and chronic pain, including a groundbreaking study of dietary interventions in type 2 diabetes that was actually funded by the National Institutes of Health. And the amazing thing is, this study paved the way for viewing type 2 diabetes as a potentially reversible condition for many patients, which not many people know. And before this, this made it possible to look at diabetes as being potentially reversible, which is amazing. Amazing. So Dr. Barnard has written over 90 scientific publications, 90 of them, and 20 books, including his newest book, Your Body in Balance. And if that wasn't enough, he's also the editor-in-chief of the Nutrition Guide for Clinicians, and that's a free textbook and mobile app that's available to all U.S. medical students. And he's also an advocate for preventative medicine, good nutrition, and higher ethical standards in research. And his research has contributed to the acceptance of plant-based diets in the dietary guidelines for Americans. So cool. So in 2015, he was named a fellow at the American College of Cardiology. And in 2016, he founded the Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C. as a model for making nutrition a routine part of all medical care. I know, that's a long list of accolades. He's a super smart guy. He is on a mission. And if you haven't read his books, you definitely should and check him out. I will link to PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, in the show notes, so you can check that out as well. So this talk that we had was so good. This is just a very, I don't know, it's a well-rounded, entertaining talk about eating plants and plant-based nutrition. This would be a really awesome episode for somebody who is newer to the whole food plant-based. Well, I don't know about that. I learned some things too that I didn't know, and I'm definitely not new to this way of eating. I think anybody who is interested in eating plants for their health will really enjoy this episode. We talk a lot about diabetes and the cause of diabetes and why diabetes is potentially reversible. We talk a lot about hormones. And that is the topic of his latest book, Your Body in Balance. And so if anybody out there is experiencing really severe menstrual cramps every month, or endometriosis, or infertility, or polycystic ovary syndrome, or really bad hot flashes, right, that are driving you crazy if you're in menopause, this is going to be a great talk for you. And I recommend that you get his book, Your Body in Balance, to learn more about it. We also hit on why people feel so good when eating a plant-based diet. So I don't know if you've experienced this or if you know anybody who has experienced this, but I've experienced it. And I've also have seen a lot of people go through this in our community when they switch from a standard American diet to a whole food plant-based diet. Their mood really, really lifts. And we had an episode a while back. What number was that? it was episode, let's see here, it was with Anna, episode 12, and we talk about her mental health and depression and how, like, what an amazing effect eating a plant-based diet had on her mental health and on her mood and on her depression. But I see this, like, they go, when they make this switch, when people make the switch from a standard American diet to a whole food plant-based diet, like, their mood improves. And they just feel lighter. Not, I mean, in their body, yes, but just in their mood. They just feel happier. And so we talk about this in this episode. And spoiler alert, it's all about the gut microbiome. So cool. And I also just have a really, you know, I have a lot of respect for, you know, a dude who can talk about menstrual cramps with me. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. Not every dude could just talk about, I mean, he is a doctor, so I guess it kind of makes sense. But even so, I don't know. We talked about menstrual cramps. And so I thought that was pretty rad too. Anyway, great episode. Share it with all your friends and your family. Get Dr. Barnard's books, and PCRM also has a podcast as well that's good, really good, if you're interested in plant-based nutrition. And enjoy our talk. I know I did. I really enjoyed it. I've talked, this is the second time I've talked with him, and I always enjoy sitting down with him, and I really enjoy listening. I listened to the episode just now before I started this intro, and I enjoyed listening to it again. I learned so much from him, and he's kind of like, I don't know, he's an open book. So anyways, enjoy this, and I will see you on the other side. The first thing that I want to get into, and we can go really whatever direction you want to go, but I would love to touch on carbohydrates, because one of the things that I get asked most often by, you know, friends or just people around is when I talk about a whole food plant-based diet, that the one of the main concerns seems to be about the carbs. And, right. You know, there's a difference between brown rice and you know, white pasta and bread and chips and cookies. But even so, I feel like that, you know, the complex carbohydrates gets kind of clumped into that, like, carbophobia or that bad carb kind of labeling. And people get really freaked out. They get freaked out that they're going to gain weight or that their pre-diabetes will get worse. And so I would love for you to address that a little bit to start with.
Sure. May I ask, where are you situated where people raise this question geographically?
Oh, well, I mean, it comes up in Hawaii a lot. I live in Hawaii, but it also comes up in our community. We have a big community, and people are, like, around the pretty much, well, the US and a lot of people from Australia and, like, the UK. That's, like, our core. Okay. Our core.
Okay. That's great. Because, you know, it's a funny thing. If you could go to Japan and go back in time to the 1960s and 1970s, people were eating phenomenal amounts of rice. And in fact, it was white rice. And they might eat a little meat here and there, but it was just little bits to kind of flavor the rice and the noodles. And nobody worried about carbohydrate. And they were the skinniest, longest lived people on the planet. They didn't have Alzheimer's disease. They didn't have diabetes, except quite rarely. They didn't have cardiovascular disease. And then what happened? McDonald's showed up, and burgers and cheese became popular, and rice to this day has been in decline as the diet has westernized. And what has happened is the waistlines have expanded, and diabetes has taken off, and so forth. But in Western countries, in the United States, also to a degree in Australia and in Europe, there has been this carbophobia that has come up. But the fact of the matter is, when in randomized clinical trials, where you bring people in and you put them on a low-fat plant-based diet or other kinds of diets, what you see is that despite the fact that their carbohydrate intake is in fact going up, it's healthy carbohydrates that help them to lose weight. Now, people freak out about that. So let me give you a couple of numbers. A gram of carbohydrate, whether it's starch or whether it's candy or whether it's sugar, but I mean just the carbohydrate part of it, a gram has 4 calories. But if you have a gram of chicken fat, it has 9. I'm talking about just the same amount, But the chicken fat has more than double the calories. And that's true for any kind of fat, beef fat, even fish fat. So that's why when people go on a healthy, low-fat, plant-based diet, they lose weight very predictably. Diabetes improves. And you mentioned pre-diabetes. If a person's got that, their likelihood of getting diabetes is not only lower, we can typically cure them of pre-diabetes. It's an easy thing to do. And at some point, I should tell you what causes diabetes, because it's not sugar. And it's not,
yes, please.
It's not eating bread. Okay, should we talk about that?
Let's do it.
All right. This is kind of new to people. In fact, it's even new to some doctors, although it shouldn't be, because it's been in medical journals for a long time. So come with me. We're going to get on the train. We're going to go to New Haven, Connecticut, and we're going to go to Yale University. And at Yale University, they have enormous, huge MRI machines, the kind of thing where you could look at a twisted ankle or a brain tumor or whatever. But now what we're doing is we're putting our patients into these machines through a technique called MR spectroscopy. And what we're looking at is the cause of diabetes. Here's what we find. Sugar, glucose, is a good thing. It's in your bloodstream. Blood sugar is going around. It's going around in your blood, because it's finally ending up in your muscle cells, the muscles of your arms or your legs, because as your cells use sugar, they use it for power, for energy, just like your car uses gas. And some sugar goes to the brain, some goes to the liver, most of it goes to the muscles. So you're in the MR, the magnetic resonance machine, and your liver lights up. I can see something inside, but you know what it is? It's not sugar. It's fat particles. We call it hepatocellular lipid. And in the muscle cells, I see fat particles building up too. We call it intramyocellular lipid. And what we see is this. People, when they're young and healthy, they don't have very many of these fat particles in their muscles and in their liver cells. This is not belly fat. This is inside the muscle cells. And as they grow older and they're eating more cheese, pizza, and chicken wings and salmon and other fatty foods, the fat from the foods builds up in their muscle and liver cells. And the more it builds up, the harder it is for sugar to get inside the cells and to power them. So you feel lethargic. And at that point, if you have sugar, your blood sugar will rise because it's not going into the cell. And people then say, ah, I knew it. Sugar's a problem. Sugar should not be a problem, and it won't be if I can get that fat out of your cells so that the sugar can get into the cells where it belongs. So in our research studies here, 2003, the U.S. government gave our team a grant to test a conventional diabetes diet and a low-fat, completely vegan, plant-based diet, which ought to make that fat in the cells go away. As a matter of fact, it does. It diminishes very rapidly. And people with diabetes improve more on that diet than on any other kind of diet. But when I say improve, I mean, their blood sugars get better, their weight gets better, their cholesterol gets better, their blood pressure gets better, their skin gets better, their likelihood of any kind of complication gets better, their need for medication gets better. So the approach to diabetes is not and should never be to avoid an apple or an orange or a sweet potato or a plate of rice and beans. It should be to embrace those foods. This carbophobia has been so terrible because we see a lot of it. As you do too.
Yeah.
When people have that, they never get away from their struggle. For the rest of their life, they are struggling either with the foods they're eating or with unwanted weight, and one fat after another comes and preys on them, and it's really unfortunate. If you take the fruit out of a person's diet and starchy vegetables, and you have them eating steak and chicken, and by the way, most doctors do not support that. The conventional diabetes diet does limit carbohydrates, but the idea is to just keep it from getting out of hand. So if a person eats a lot of carbs one day and none the next day, you can't regulate their medication. You don't know how much medication doses. Yeah, so that's kind of where it came from. Anyway, the point being is that when a person avoids carbohydrates and they're not eating fruits very much or root vegetables and things, what happens is that they're eating so much fat and protein that it's damaging to it can be damaging to the heart. It probably increases the risk of Alzheimer's and colorectal cancer. And when we look at people on very low carb diets, their mortality is substantially higher than on other diets. So it's just one of these goofy fads that won't go away.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be sticking around. Good. That's for sure. And then when you're not eating all these healthy complex carbohydrates and, you know, veggies and fruits and beans and whole grains, we're missing out on the whole like plethora of nutrients that these foods have to offer. So.
And I have to tell you, I am on the warpath to really let people know. And I've actually just released a brand new book called Your Body in Balance. Mm. And the whole idea is that our hormones get out of balance, and insulin is a hormone that can get back into balance. But insulin is not only an issue in diabetes, it's also an issue in polycystic ovary syndrome. And other hormones go crazy too, sex hormones, leading to menstrual cramps, endometriosis, and hot flashes, as well as for men, prostate cancer, or and erectile dysfunction for women, breast cancer. So anyway, my new book, if you don't mind my bragging about it,
sure, it's
called, called Your Body in Balance, for all those people who haven't found the answer to diabetes or thyroid diseases, or women who are suffering day after day with menstrual cramps, or couples where fertility is elusive. Please do have a look at Your Body in Balance, and you'll find how foods can get you, can help you dial your hormones back to where they should be.
Yeah. So then that it's possible then to get, even if your body is pretty out of whack by years of, you know, not great lifestyle choices, it is possible to bring it back then.
Oh, absolutely. Let me describe this. I was sitting at my desk and my phone rang, and it was a young woman who said, "Oh, Dr. Barnard, I can't get out of bed." So what's the matter? And she had menstrual cramps, which many women have, but for maybe one in 10 or so, they are just off the scale, cannot move, about one day a month, that kind of thing. And she had a business trip the next day, and she said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Well, I could give you some painkillers." But then I thought, well, what's causing this, and how can we stop it next month? So just the biology real quick is that the inside the uterus is an inner lining called the endometrium. And the endometrium thickens up every month in anticipation of pregnancy. But toward the end of the month, the disappointed uterus discovers that it is not pregnant once again. And so at that point, it disintegrates in menstrual flow. But as it does, this disintegrating endometrial lining releases chemicals called prostaglandins. That's what causes cramps. So just to be really clear, let's say a woman is eating in such a way that she has extra estrogens in her blood. That causes too much, we believe, it causes too much thickening of the uterus, which causes too much prostaglandin formation, which causes too much cramping. And by the way, the prostaglandins get into the bloodstream and you'll feel headachy and bloated and rotten. And so anyway, what I did for this young woman is I gave her 2 days of painkillers, but then I also said, how about this? For the next month, would you like to do a completely plant-based diet? I mean, a vegan diet, no animal products. And also let's keep oils really, really low. And the reason I chose that was that we have known from breast cancer patients that if we increase fiber a lot and reduce fat a lot, that their estrogen levels will calm down to a safer level that will make the cancer less likely to progress. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, you don't have breast cancer, but you've got too much endometrial thickening, and I'll bet you I could calm it down in the same way. No doctor had ever told this to a patient for cramps, and I wasn't sure if it would work. It worked fabulously. Her cramps were cured until several months later. She started bringing more grease into her diet and whatever, and then the cramps came back. So I connected with the Department of OBGYN at Georgetown University Medical School here in Washington, D.C. We did a test, and we found that it didn't just work for her. It worked for lots and lots and lots of women. So the cramps got better. But I have to tell you one more thing. In the course of this study, we asked all the women, because we're testing what foods can do for hormones. Please don't take any hormone medication during the study, because that will goof up our study. And that meant birth control pills. So we said, if you're sexually active, please use some other contraceptive method. One of the women said, "Don't worry about me. My husband and I gave up having a baby a long time ago. We've both been evaluated. It's not him. It's me. I don't ovulate. We don't use birth control. We don't need it." And the second month in our study, she was on a completely plant-based diet that we were testing. Very low fat, high in vegetables and fruits and whole grains and beans, very hormone balancing. The second month of the research study, she came in and she says, "I've got bad news and I've got good news." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I'm dropping out of your study because I am pregnant." And she, 9 months later, she gave birth to a healthy, beautiful baby. And then she had two more kids after that. And so here's my point. Our hormones get out of balance in the same way that insulin gets out of balance, and we can bring it back in balance. We can do exactly the same thing with estrogens for women. So if anybody listening to this has cramps every month, and you're thinking, could anything other than painkillers and fistfuls of ibuprofen help me? Or if you're dealing with infertility, or if you have endometriosis and your doctor is thinking about pushing surgery on you, if you have polycystic ovary syndrome, or if you're now at menopause and hot flashes are driving you crazy, please have a look at how foods can help you. It is astounding. And I don't ask you to take this on faith. I will walk you step by step how to do it, and you can test it for yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great information. Yeah. And, you know, I used to be one of those women with like one full day in bed with cramps. And so I know that, and I've, you know, that was when I was eating a really junky kind of vegan diet with alcohol and cigarettes, and my lifestyle was just not pretty. But when I stopped all that and started eating a really healthy whole food plant-based diet, same thing happened. And, you know, I mean, I saw, and it happened rather quickly, and I don't have cramps anymore. So I...
It works. And by the way, if people are wondering about this, there are really three parts of it. One is getting away from animal products is important. The second step is keeping fats really low. Now, every woman is different and every man is different, but some will find that even if they're adding things like potato chips or things that have a lot of fat impregnated in them, French fries, onion rings, that fat causes their hormones to get a little goofed up. And the third piece is fiber. And I'm talking about beans and vegetables and fruits. The fiber that they have will go through your intestinal tract. And as it does, it actually pulls estrogens out of your body and they go right down the toilet. Your liver filters your blood. The estrogens go into the intestinal tract from the liver and the fiber carries them away. So the idea is not to remove all your estrogens. The idea is to get you out of that hormone haywire where you're on this roller coaster of not very much estrogen and then way too much. And you want to be in balance, and it will happen fast. If you do the diet right, your cramps are going to be cured within the first month, typically. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different, but getting away from animal products is good. Keeping the fat low, making sure you have plenty of high fiber things like fruits and vegetables. And it is the funnest thing. And then, of course, you discover that the eating feels cleaner and it feels healthier, and you, and your energy is better and your digestion is better. And it's just better in every way.
I mean, there's so many things, and it's like the side effects of medication can oftentimes be, you know, really devastating. And the side effects of eating a healthy whole food plant-based diet are amazing.
It's funny you say that. We did a study with Geico, you know, the car insurance people. Their office is about four blocks from my office here. And so back, 10 years ago or more, we did our first study with them for people. The goal was weight loss and improving diabetes, because they had a lot of maybe not so healthy employees. And the study was very successful. So we did another study in 10 different cities around the U.S. at Geico facilities. And we were testing out a low-fat, completely plant-based diet. In the course of this study, we started looking not just at their weight and at their diabetes and their cholesterol, but we started looking at other things, like their mood. And so with paper and pencil tests, we would rate depression, anxiety, job absenteeism, and so forth. And all they only came in because they wanted to lose some weight and get healthier. But what we started noticing was this pattern, that the depression scores were easing up a lot, and same with anxiety. And when we looked at just are you at work or not, the job absenteeism went way, way, way down. And we discovered that this was a repeating phenomenon. And at first we had no idea why this is. But since that time we've been understanding how you're talking about side effects, the side effect of kind of those clouds sort of disappearing, is a very common one that people have.
Why is that? Because I hear that a lot as well, like the mental fog kind of lifts and their mood improves. Like, what is that related to?
Okay, well, the first thing is really obvious. If you lose weight, you feel proud, you feel glad, and you feel more energetic and so forth. And if your diabetes goes down and your doctor stops your meds, your medications, that is great too. So we have all sorts of reasons to feel good, but that's not it. There's more to it. And it's in the digestive tract. as you know, you have lots of bacteria, the gut microbiome, they will change very rapidly. If you, let's say you were on a plant-based diet and you started eating chicken and fish and dairy products and eggs and so forth, that animal diet is high in fat and it's high in protein, and it doesn't have much healthy complex carbohydrate, and it doesn't have fiber. That favors gut bacteria that tend to affect the brain negatively. What you'll see is that moods kind of go down. People on ketogenic diets sometimes have that, where anxiety and depression kind of well up and they just feel rotten. And then you switch back to a diet that's high in fiber and high in healthy complex carbohydrates throughout the animal products, the gut bacteria change. And there was a really cool study done in Pittsburgh where researchers at the University of Pittsburgh compared men in Pittsburgh and men in rural Africa. The men in Pittsburgh were eating chicken wings and pizza, and the men in rural Africa were eating root vegetables, lots of bean dishes and so forth, predominantly. Their gut bacteria in Africa were much healthier. Then they switched diets. They asked the men in Pittsburgh to eat a rural African diet, and the opposite in Africa. They said, start eating like you're in Pittsburgh. And within about 2 weeks' time, the gut microbiome changes. It's like if you're trying to grow roses in your garden, would you put down a sandy soil that's for cactuses? You know, and if you're trying to grow cactuses, would you put in soil for roses? The kind of bacteria that are in your digestive tract will dictate your mood to a degree. Now, don't get me wrong. The science on this is still evolving, and there's a lot we don't know. But we do know this. We do know that the gut produces neurochemicals. We also know that you can change the products of the gut very, very rapidly, depending on what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Okay, I love that. Well, I hope that those guys in Africa were able to get back to their regular diet.
I have to say, it's one of the dangers of doing these studies is that researchers did a similar thing in Mexico. There's a group in Mexico called the Tarahumara Indians. I don't know if you ever read that book called Born to Run, which is all about barefoot running.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, the Tarahumara Indians are super fast, and they run all the time. They're known for it. And they are on an almost entirely plant-based diet. And researchers noticed that their cholesterol levels were really low. They were in trim and healthy. They had fabulous endurance. And they asked as an experiment for them to start eating meat and dairy products in fairly elaborate quantities. Mm. And almost immediately, they started gaining weight. Their cholesterol levels went up very, very rapidly. And then if you stop, everything goes right back down. The importance of all this is for somebody who's never done a plant-based diet. They might have a high cholesterol, they might have extra weight, and they will say, well, my parents have the same problem.
Yeah.
It's probably genetic. But keep in mind, you don't just give your kids DNA, you give them recipes, you give them you give them tastes for
exactly.
food. You give them a food culture. And that's what we're seeing. So for 90% of people, you change the diet that they're on, and all of these things will improve dramatically.
Right. So it's not just the genes that might be hereditary; it's the diet that's hereditary as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. For sure.
Okay. So can you just since you're a doctor and all this, can you just say like explain from what you've seen what a really like safe good cholesterol levels are for both LDL and HDL?
Well, first of all, for when you get your blood test, you'll see total cholesterol, first of all. And the conventional wisdom says keep it below 200. And
that's for the total.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people are, the average American is probably around 205 or whatever. So maybe, which means about half of people or more are not where they should be. And I should also say that although 200 is kind of the upper limit of normal, I would like to see you below that. If I could bring you down to about 150, that would be, frankly, better. Okay, so that's total. And the total cholesterol is just all the other ones added up to make the total. So the one to really zero in on is LDL, or low-density lipoprotein. That's bad cholesterol. And there I want to see that below 100. And some people, some doctors are a little more forgiving of it. I would really encourage you, if you're not there, if you're not on a low-fat vegan diet, do it for about 8 weeks, and you will see your numbers go down. Now, with HDL, the story is changing on that. Up until a couple years ago, we wanted to see HDL, high-density lipoprotein, that's good cholesterol. We wanted to see it really high as we could get, maybe over 50, 55, something like that. However, we were wrong in thinking that a high HDL would protect us. The idea was these were garbage trucks that would carry cholesterol away, and that's true. But if you, researchers made medications that raised HDL, and they didn't do anything for heart health, they didn't work. Mm-hmm. So what we now think is that people who happen to have high HDLs might have some genetic benefit of some type, but raising HDL through diet or any other means does not seem to help you. The good news in that is that if you follow a healthy plant-based diet and all your numbers come down, your total comes down, your LDL comes down, sometimes your HDL will come down too. That reduction in HDL does not seem to be an issue.
That's great to know. Can I ask you what your LDL is?
Well, I have to confess, I never check it. I probably checked it 6 or 8 years ago or something like that. And it's the people who need to check it are people who are kind of on the verge of not good, and they need a stern talking to from their doctor or nurse or dietitian. But if you're following a healthy diet and you've checked it, you know, or you check it once every 6 or 8 years, you could do it more often if you want, but there's really no point. There's no need to.
So don't get hung up on the numbers is what you're saying.
Well, no, I mean, get hung up on the numbers if you're in bad shape.
Right.
But what you should do is use them as a motivator to get it down. Now, there are genes that will affect cholesterol. And if you have done a scrupulously plant-based diet for 8 weeks or so, and you kept the oils low, because even extra virgin olive oil has some of the bad fat in it that can raise your cholesterol. But let's say you've been very scrupulous and your LDL just did not budge, then you may be one of those, maybe one in 10 people, where genes really are keeping your cholesterol high. And at that point, you can have a conversation with your physician about whether you should start a statin or not. They have benefits, but they also have risks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great information. And what about the A1C number? What are you looking for there for a really safe number?
Okay, if for people who don't know what we're talking about, and in case there is somebody like that, A1C is a measure of blood sugar control. And if a person is healthy, I want it to, and doesn't have diabetes or whatever, I want them to be below 5.7. Mm-hmm. And so 5.2, 3, 4, that's all fine. Once you're at 5.7, we're going to start talking about pre-diabetes. Mm-hmm. And once you're at 6.5, that's when your doctor says, well, this is looking like diabetes. Now, a single determination is usually not diagnostic. Your doctor will say, come back, let me see you in a month, we'll check it again, and if you're there, then we'll have a talk. But wherever you are, remember what we were talking about at the beginning of this program. If your A1C is creeping up, that's a sign that fat from foods you eat, that bologna sandwich with mayo and cheese, those fat particles got into your muscle and liver cells, causing them to keep the sugar out, sugars circulating in your blood, and raising your A1C.
Okay,
you can correct that very fast. Two quick things, if I may. When we started this work, we never saw people's diabetes go away. We just didn't think that was possible. But once we started testing plant-based diets, it became a real possibility. And I don't care how long a person has had diabetes or other health problems, now's the time to turn it around. And if you don't mind, can I brag about this new book?
Yes, please do, please.
Here it is. I just got this in the mail. This is my new book, and I want to brag about, isn't it nice, your body in balance. So I'm hoping people will not only look at it themselves, but to tell you the truth, what I'm looking for is there are so many people who don't know what you know, and they need to spread the word to others. So I'm hoping that people share this prescription, if I can put it that way, with others who need a little bit of help.
That's wonderful. Well, I look forward to reading it. And thank you so much for writing it and for sharing it. And I'm sure that people will just gobble it up. And when does it come out?
February 4th.
February 4th. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Barnard. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love it if you could rate and review it. That would mean a lot. And if you want to learn more about our whole food plant-based meal plans, head on over to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and check them out. You can also pick up a ton of plant-based recipes and resources and get inspired to celebrate human imperfection, because none of us are perfect. None of us, promise. And isn't that a relief? Oh my gosh. Okay, have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Dreamer, come alive.